You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Hmm, what's this button do? Whoa!
You are now entering the green world.
The 30th UN Climate Conference will run from next week, the 10th to 21st of November in Belém, Brazil, taking on key issues around the mitigation of climate change, like the limiting of global temperature rise, increase in climate spending commitments, and the impacts for vulnerable populations. For Green World this week, I spoke with senior lecturer at AUT's School of Future Environments, Dr. Priscilla Besen, about the importance of this year's conference for climate action. You've mentioned that you're from Brazil, where this year's COP will take place. Why is the location of this event so, as you've said, symbolic and strategic?
So, yeah, the location of COP30 this year being in the heart of the Amazon rainforest, I think it's quite important. There have been many calls to protect the Amazon. It's such an important place and biome, not just for Brazil, but for really regulating the climate of the entire world. So by having this event actually in there, in the Amazon, I think it's a really good choice because we'll bring the world leaders and sustainability professionals from all around the world to actually see, you know, what the Amazon looks like. And it's actually not just a forest, but a place where millions of people live. So I think it will be interesting for people who don't know the Amazon to be experiencing this. The other reason why I think it's quite strategic is it will enable the participation of many indigenous voices as part of COP30. So there are many communities, indigenous communities from the Amazon who will be participating. There is a flotilla traveling over 3,000 kilometers through regional rivers from Ecuador to Brazil for this, and they will have an indigenous pavilion. So I think from what I've been seeing on the news, I think indigenous voices will have, you know, a more prominent role as part of this conference compared to previous years.
Yeah, you're talking a bit about how this year's conference in a way centers indigenous issues and knowledge and voices, of course. Why do you think that this is particularly important?
Yeah, I mean, indigenous people really know how to look after our ecosystems. They have been doing this for centuries all over the world. There's so much we can learn from those communities, and in particular in the Amazon, they have a very important roles in protecting the forests. They know about, yeah, all the ecosystems, plants and animals. And there will be also other indigenous leaders traveling there. For example, from Aotearoa, I heard there's a group of 10 Rangatahi Maori who will be attending COP30, so bringing indigenous voices from all around the world. And I hope there's a lot they can share with world leaders, and there's so much that the world can learn from indigenous ways of knowing and caring for nature.
What are your hopes in terms of pledges and solution building that will take place during this meeting?
Yes, so I was actually a bit disappointed with the previous editions of the COP because they were not really ambitious and didn't really deliver the solutions that we needed. I think a lot of people have been losing hope with those big discussions and events because there's a lot of talking but not a lot of real action. But this year, I'm more hopeful again because of the location, because of the theme of being implementation and just transitions. And I'm hoping there will be more ambitious targets. We are really running out of time. And the initial, this COP is also marking the 10th anniversary of the Paris Agreement, which was trying to limit global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius, but we're really running out of time. There has not been enough action to really limit warming to the levels we needed. So I think, I hope we will be discussing more profound transformations to the way we live in countries around the world, because we really need to be doing a lot more than we are doing at the moment. And we really need to change the way we consume, the way we move around in our cities, and really changing all the industries as we know at the moment.
This conference has quite traditionally been a conference of states or state political leaders. But I mean, more recently, I'd say we're seeing that major corporations play quite a significant role in the amount of emissions and in influencing climate action and policy, and even producing campaigns surrounding the effects of climate change and the effects of their products on climate change and so forth. And so onward, I suppose. Do you think that there is potentially a role for corporations to be participating in meetings like this or in global events or collaboration like this?
Yeah, it's. I mean, they play such an important role, and there is so much that companies can do in terms of climate action. So I think it has been common in the previous COPs for companies to participate as well. There has been some greenwashing in the past, with some fossil fuel companies actually having leading roles in some of the recent conferences. I think we will see this year just a combination of participants from governments, from youth activists, companies, and academics. So it's a gathering of many people who have a role to play in climate solutions. So yes, they also have exhibitions of sustainable products and pavilions showcasing solutions. So there will be kind of a mix of everything, because there are so many people that can be a part of climate solutions.
There's a legitimate concern about a number of conflicts around the world that are negatively influencing how individual states make decisions around climate mitigation, not to mention, of course, all the flow-off effects of war and conflict generally. How do you think that leaders at this event should be addressing these kinds of issues?
Yes, it's when a few months ago, when I was thinking about the conference, I was even thinking, oh, does it make sense to talk about climate change if we don't even know if we're going to survive with all this wars and conflicts and tension? Yes, I think it's such an important discussion to be held as part of this, because ending this conflict is really one of the main things we could be doing to stop all the environmental impacts, not to mention all the loss of lives and the tragic events we have seen this year. So it is actually quite tricky to be talking out. How are we talking about 10 years ahead and saving nature if we are, you know, seeing wars and massive destruction of entire cities and countries? So from this sense, I hope the discussions will also include this. How do we, you know, how is global peace really the main, you know, the basic thing we need for climate action? Because if we think about the devastation and all the emissions from the wars we had this year, it's just everyone was really losing hope, I think, in terms of climate or a future at all. But the event, so there are many world leaders, especially from the global south, who have been quite critical of all of this. So I think, again, the conference being in Brazil and combining some kind of alternative leaders and voices from the global south who have been speaking up about all of those issues, about just transitions, about peace and ending wars. I think hopefully this will be a good event to bring some some of those voices that are not the usual players. Also, the United States will not be sending major leaders to this conference, which is very unfortunate, but hopefully an opportunity for other countries to be leading in those discussions.
Finally, just to ground this back in New Zealand's context, how would you like to see our government stepping up our actions and policy or decision-making in response to the impacts of climate change?
So Aotearoa New Zealand can be a leader in this conference, even though with a smaller population, being a smaller country, this doesn't give us less of a voice because all countries participate in the discussions. So New Zealand could be leading in proposing more ambitious targets. Also, New Zealand is really being affected by climate change by having all the coastlines and thinking about sea level rise, for example. There's a lot to think about climate adaptation and how New Zealand, even though being small and having not contributed as much to the global climate crisis, is really being affected by this. Also thinking about our Pacific neighbors and all the impacts they have been feeling. So hopefully New Zealand will be leading discussions for more ambitious targets. But unfortunately, recently there hasn't been enough action on climate change in New Zealand as well. And I see kind of a perception that things are too expensive or that sustainability is only for a few privileged individuals. I would like to see more solutions locally and in those global discussions, ready to promote sustainability for everyone, making sure that these actions are not for only a few privileged households. I can give you a quick example, being able to afford solar energy for a house, which is an action both for climate change mitigation by using renewable energy and also for adaptation, because it's making your home more resilient and having your local power available in case of any disasters. But this is something not everyone can afford. So we start to see a divide between those who can afford those solutions and those who can't. So there's a lot we need to do locally. And I would like to see also New Zealand with the image of being a clean and green country, really leading by example at the COP conference.
That was AUT Senior Lecturer Dr. Priscilla Besson talking about this month's COP30.
That was The Green World.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.